Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed souls, we're live because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim. Instructions of life towards Chesed. Instructions of kindness towards Rachamim. You're now tuned into Soul Class number 385. Program number 8 of Whose Presence is Divine. And we're going to be plucking generously from a Hasidic discourse delivered by the Lubavitcher Rebbe in 5711, according to the Hebrew lunar calendar, which also corresponds to the English solar calendar date, or year, I should say, of 1951. Before we get directly into the main content of today's program, I want to share with you a teaching that inspired me very much so in the realm, the world, the consciousness of Chabad Hasidim. We have a custom to read a little portion of a seminal work that was written, or as humbly suggested by the author of Shneur Zalman Liyada, the author, Rebbe, direct descendant of Kings David and Solomon, that he was merely compiling the teachings of the past. But also, of course, blessed us since he was a tzaddik, he was able to, through his insight, to share with us nuances that had not been revealed before in the oral Torah tradition in general, and in particular in the realms of Chassidus, Pnimus HaTorah, the inner dimensions of Torah. So in a teaching, the portion that we want to pluck generously from, a portion that we were learning from this past Sunday, which was the 21st day of Menachem Av, 5,774 years blazing and grazing into the creation, the idea that there is a instruction that can be elicited from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 18, which reads succinctly in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, the Holy Tongue, V'zareya tzedakah schar emes. And for the one who sows tzedakah, which can be translated as righteousness or even charity, for those who want to stick to the English simple translation of the word tzedakah, which really doesn't do true justice to the word tzedakah, but the one who sows charity, he gets the reward of truth. The Alter Rebbe, the Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, understood this to mean, and to mean in our day, and to mean for the future as well, that when we connect to the idea of sowing not just the seeds of future produce for human consumption, but another type of seed for human consumption, the seed of tzedakah, the seed of righteousness, it elicits an attribute called truth. From another perspective, the Alter Rebbe also brought from the prophet Micah, or Navi Micha, the idea that truth, or literally you, Creator, Hashem, Titan Emes Le Yaakov, you gave truth unto Yaakov. And there the Alter Rebbe elucidated the prophet Micha was absorbed in praising the Holy One, blessed be He, as it is brought down in another holy book known as the Zohar, that this is to understand that the Holy One, blessed be He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives Midas HaEmes to Yaakov. So we're perhaps in a quandary, blessed souls. I mean, the Alter Rebbe questions, is then there is no truth in Yaakov? Chas v'shalom, heaven forbid, until it's given to us from above? However, it's well known, for those who know it, and especially it's well known to you, blessed souls, if you learn the Tanya, section 1, chapter 45, is that there is an attribute of Yaakov, Jacob, which is intrinsic to the Jacobic Israeli family, the attribute of Rachman, compassion. Now, in order to access this Midat HaRachamim, Midat HaRachmanut, and to integrate it into one's service of the Creator, first, compassion, mercies, must start from within, searching oneself within a certain point in the blessed human body. One must search within one's own heart to any man or woman and arouse and reveal a great compassion upon a spark of godliness that can be found within one's own soul, one's uniquely human soul, which has been greatly distanced from the counsel of the Creator by virtue of the fact that the human soul has now, once the human soul has been decreed upon from the wisdom from above to enter a human body, a certain darkness can overcome the consciousness of the human being living that life where they might not be totally in sync with their human soul, as that human soul contains within it a spark oh so divine. And a man or woman then proceed as they develop throughout their various life cycles to merely chase the vanities of his or her times. But it can be accessed through the act of tzedakah, a vessel. And so we see, blessed souls, this kind of leads to where we're leading to now with the several minutes left in today's humble effort. The idea that human intervention can bring about tikkun, rectification. It also can bring about a disturbance. And there was a disturbance at the beginning of the creation, shortly after the formation and revelation and actualization of original man and woman, Adam and Eve, alas, attributable to them. Now, when that took place, as we are starting to now generously pluck from the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe from 1951 in the solar calendar year, corresponding to 5711 in the Hebrew lunar calendar year, when there was a disturbance, a distraction caused by not being in sync as they could have fully been, Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava, this caused, because humans as the stewards of the earth, the original stewards of the earth, through their action, wrong action, caused a departure of the original divine presence, Hashchinah Ikari, to depart within a realm of creation as identified within the oral Torah tradition of Chassidut, known as Harikiyah, the firmament, which at one point as well is described as heaven or Shemayim. Now, blessed souls, I'll ask you, whether you're aware of these verses or not, to rethink over verses stated, written, commanded to Moses, the mighty Levi prophet by the Most High, in prophetic transmission, to write down in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. I'm not going to read those verses, blessed souls. This is your homework assignment. Again, we like to share information, hopefully in a generous and kind fashion, but we don't want to put it all in front of your eyes. Rather, we want to hopefully arouse you to do some research on your own, to see how it looks according to your perspective after we've suggested to you. As I've mentioned many times, I am merely a cyberspace Torah askan, Torah activist, cyberspace librarian, to show this is what can be accessible to you through the cyberspace Torah programming that we have been humbly been engaging in the past 4 years in Soul Class here on the Blessed Block Talk Radio Network. So we want to take a look at three perspectives based on those three verses in Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. In review, we see that the first usage of this term, harakia, this firmament, describes in the most existential fashion right now, and I'll always describe because Torah is eternal, so this is an eternal instruction. The first usage of the term firmament, harakia, describes the separation of water. Another point to take note of, say, I guess we'll call it point two, so water itself had imposed upon it by divine decree to no longer exist as a unified entity. Now again, this is before Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava lived, so there's no sin yet. The world is still in a stage of manifestation, revelation, but not full actualization. But already there's some level, not of disturbance, but separation, as ordained by the Creator in Creator's wisdom and understanding and mercies, way beyond the understanding and wisdom and mercies of any human being. Now, this separation, if we consider point number three concerning the idea of rakia, the firmament, as initially discussed in chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, this separation was described as a general level of water existing above the intermediary force of firmament, and as well, now, when the water became separated, there would be a level of water, Bechina Shamayim, that would exist tachat ha-rakia, below the firmament. Point four we want to vibe out on concerning the idea of rakia, firmament, gently reminding of ourselves to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, just simply looking at the scripture. At which point, after accomplishing this divine separation, again, not out of negative, from a negative cause, but as a feature, as a component within how this creation originally manifested. Creator called the Rakia, as we mentioned before, Shamayim, which means heaven. And within this entity of Rakia, firmament, now be calling Shamayim heaven, it also contained within the water. And as well, Rashi, the primary elucidator in Pshut Yishal Mikra, simple explanations of the Torah that even a Ben Chamesh LaMikra, a five-year-old studying the scripture, could understand. As Rashi embellished with his elucidation, that Shemayim, heaven, which we've already associated with the concept of Rakia, and that water would be above the Rakia, the firmament, and below the firmament. But when we talk about Rakia, the firmament, as being also described as Shemayim, and we know that there is water in the Shemayim, water in this heaven, it also contained within it the element of Esh, of fire, which is something I'd like you to consider, blessed souls. How could heaven, which has already been described as a vessel, a kli, a containment center for water, also within its realms of existence, of within creation, also contain within it fire. And yet the fire of heaven does not extinguish the water of heaven. Or I should say, the fire of heaven doesn't evaporate the water of heaven, and the water of heaven doesn't extinguish the fire that's contained within heaven. Something for you to think about, contemplate about, if you wish to, blessed souls, or Maybe you just want to move on. And so we want to move on, too, with these ideas. So now that we've perhaps heightened your awareness to maybe get a little more focused on the consciousness, which can be accessible to you, but the whole idea of Rakia, blessed souls, which became ultimately, after the disturbance which was generated by Adam and Chava, the Rakia, the firmament, became a temporary alternative abode for Shekhinah, whose departure, the departure of Ikar HaShekhinah, the essence of Shekhinah, from this blessed earth, was directly caused by the Chet Etz Hadas, the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, by original man and woman. Now, the good news is, blessed souls, as the departure of Shekhinah from this blessed planet was not a permanent decree, chas v'shalom, heaven forbid. Yes, we must recall that Shekhinah, according to the teachings of Lubavitch Rebbe, from his own insights and that which he received as a tradition from the Lubavitch Rebbe's before him, as they received from their ancestors, the house of King David and Solomon. Shekhinah, divine presence, originally manifested upon this blessed earth with all of its essential essence. But what is essential for our consciousness, blessed souls, to expand in a step-by-step, excuse me, ascending fashion? Well, also, if it is to our interest, to refine our cognitive senses simultaneously, to be on the positive alert, to be privy towards exponential momentary leaps in cognitive vision, i.e. wisdom, elucidative, conceptual capturing, and heightened essential sensitivity towards further immersing ourselves to the connect to the essence of Elokus, divinity, godliness, is to realize that the initial departure of Shekhinah, divine presence, via the Chet Etz Hadas Tovara, the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is in fact of great significance to all human beings who lived in the past, we're all meriting and blessed to live right now, and all those who merit to live into the future, that we should be concentrating, focusing on what is the implications of our now becoming more aware of the fact that the essence of divine presence was here on the earth, and a disturbance caused it to depart to the first Rakia, the first firmament. Yes, there's even more good news, if hopefully we'll perceive this as good news. And it was good news in the past for those who are the righteous soulful congregations. The good news is now for those who are part of the righteous soulful congregations around the world. And it will be for us to be aware of the fact that there were certain righteous souls of antiquity, like Abraham, Yitzhak, Isaac, Yaakov, Yosef, Joseph, Levi, Amram, the father of Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, Moshe's father's name was Amram, which is not just the name of a pizza shop on 13th Avenue in Borough Park, Brooklyn, for those of you from the Brooklyn area. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu. Because by the time Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, the original master of Torah for the masses of 12 tribes of Israel, by the time he arrived on the scene, he was given the pristine opportunity to draw down once again something which had not been fully revealed down here on this lowest realm, this world, this earth, this blessed earth, the Ikar Shekhinah. Did you know, blessed souls, that Moshe's generation, according to the oral Torah tradition, were accounted as the seventh generation in relation to the first generation of those seeking to make a tikkun in Shekhinah, to rectify the divine presence, to bring it back down, as it is our role as human beings, as stewards of the earth, to bring it down. Moses' generation was the seventh generation in relation to the first generation associated with Abraham. Our Torah sages instruct us that within this scenario, of Moshe and his generation. Being the seventh generation, there's an oral Torah tradition. Kol Shvivin Chavivin, all sevens are cherished. But we don't want to get caught up in a numerology game, blessed souls. Lo kol chavivim shvivin. Not everything that's cherished has to be within the context of the number value of seven. Rather, blessed souls, we want to bring out that it was brought out in this Hasidic discourse by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. We humbly suggest, as part of Torah Savor, Torah Reasoning, the emphasis on seven is to emphasize a cycle, a completion of a certain cycle of consciousness which began by Abraham, and culminated with the emergence of Moshe, Moses, not only as the promoter, talking about Moses now, Moshe, as the promoter of the oneness of Creator, and the negator of idolatry wherever his hand was able to have an influence, physically, spiritually, allegorically, but as well, Moshe, Moses, served as the human means, the human facilitator for freedom from misery of human bondage, of human enslaving human, specifically how the Egyptians had enslaved us of the nation of Israel in bitter bondage. As well, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, we know, is the receiver of the Torah, which transpired the reception of the Torah in the way that we understand it today over 3,326 years ago. And last but not least, Moses' emergence, his coming upon the scene of human civilization, socialization, activation, as well, last but not least, testifies to the importance of the first generation within this seven generation cycle period, starting from Abraham. So let's take one step back, cognitively speaking, blessed souls. What was the essential virtue of Abraham? Surely, he was truly dedicated to all his efforts towards serving Creator and fellowshipping with other human blessed beings. And what was his primary mode of service, blessed souls? A good portion of Abraham's life was dedicated towards educating human beings who'd entered his tent, where he would then offer them food and drink and luscious fruits as desserts for free. And it was known that his tent was open on all four sides, and he wouldn't charge them for the food. Could you imagine today if restaurant entrepreneurs were to have such a business? They would be swamped. They would be closed down within the day. Who can supply so much food, especially if you live in a metropolitan area, as I do, say like in Brooklyn, or part of the five boroughs where you have, I guess, 8 to 10 million people. If every restaurant would flood with just people coming to eat freely, they'd go out of business. But that time, being that Abraham lived in a part of the world, some would call it the Middle East, eventually that area would be called the Land of Israel, at that time that he lived in it would call Canaan. At that time, he had the option of passers-by who were Arabs, Aravim. They weren't Hamas. They weren't Fatah. They weren't Hezbollah. They weren't jihadists. They weren't this ISIS crisis, Klipa, Sitra, Akhra, spirit of impurity. They were Arabs, the ancestors of a good portion of the people today who live in the Middle East, who are not of the Hebrew, Israelite, Jewish nation. And he wouldn't charge them a penny if they agreed to the condition that they would bless the Creator. Now, you can learn more about this, blessed souls, by going to the Talmudic tractate of Sota, page 10, side B in Rashi. It's also brought down in the Midrash Rabbah in the book of Genesis, chapter 54. How would this transpire? Well, from the source I just quoted, how did he cause other human beings to proclaim the name of God, name of Creator, Creator of the universe? Of course, he didn't speak English, and the Arabs of those days didn't speak English either. And I would assume as well, because where he lived was in proximity to the northern part of Africa, he probably freely, openly accepted Africans into his tent as well. When the people who came in his tent ate and drank blessed souls, they stood up to bless Abraham, and he would respond to them, quote, "Was it then of my food that you ate? You ate from the food of the God of the universe. It would be better if you were to thank, praise, and bless the one who spoke and caused the universe into being." So they would ask Abraham, Avraham, or Avram before he had his circumcision. They would ask, whether it be Arab or African, and perhaps some of the Japhetic, those of the seed of Japhet also somehow made their way down to that part of the world. They would ask, "What do we say?" He told them, quote unquote, "Blessed is the Creator of the universe from whose bounty you have eaten." So Abraham taught all people who came, who merited to enter his tent, to recognize and call out in the name of Creator, Creator of the universe. And that's how the process of making tikkun and shekhinah began in the generation of Abraham. With that being said, blessed souls, we're going to end our efforts today. It's been a blast. It was very impromptu. There is a certain sweetness to doing that. It's a certain type of reality sometimes that can manifest when we plan to do things, it doesn't happen the way we want to, and sometimes when we don't plan things, another type of reality comes out that can surprise us. So we're going to end off with our normal segueing out of program. Wonderful artist and beautiful human being, David Dome, will help us get back home to help us realize, blessed souls, our Tzelem Elokim, our divine image, will help us get scrimmage. And hopefully this will be accomplished in the way of Ahav Echad, one love, Begore Lecha, one destiny, Kulano, for all of us, Badach Hashem Dach Hinam, in a pleasant, peaceful and pleasant way. And please don't ever forget, and if you're God, I'll remind you, blessed souls, you've got to be good. Why do you have to be good, blessed souls? Because Hateva Tov Lehetev. It's the nature of the good to do good, and prepares the source of all goodness. Put you in this world, therefore you have it within your spiritual, intellectual, mental DNA to be good. So Bezer Hashem Laham Sheikh, to be continued. Bezer Hashem Yisbreak, to begin with the help of the Most High. Here's Reality Sometimes by David Dome. Take care, everyone.